You know, Zay is right. Beyonce is not country at all. At all. I'm sorry.
I didn't realize that that was still going down. I thought that she just did like a single or whatever, and she and that was the end of it.
I think it skyrocketed to the top of the charts, and so, you know, going to make a run with it. And it's like, come on, man.
Give me 2 seconds. Welcome everybody in. Let me get these two situated here because they're about to.
Because I can go on my country music tangent. Because what happens is you get all of these entertainers that they branch over to country music. And Beyonce is a little bit different because Beyonce is actually, you know, a superstar in her own genre. But she moves over, but these people move over to country and people are like, oh, it's so great. I'm like, a lot of people come to country because they can't make records anymore in pop or rap or whatever the hell they're doing. And you're just like the sloppy seconds is what country is. And these new country fans and Nashville fans are like, oh, yeah, we got whoever now. Bullshit.
So you're telling me that the country that we're basically ascending into, country's basically becoming geriatrics music. Is that what you're saying?
Country becomes
like, once all the pop stars get out of the 20s, 30s demographic, they go into country so they can prolong
keep on making money. On making money. It's like,
I didn't see it like that, but I'm going to start looking at it with those lenses.
It is. Dude. Hey, look, man, I love Def Leppard. I wear that Def Leppard shirt on the show sometimes. Did they do a country? They did a country song. They did a country collaboration. Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm serious as a heart attack, dude. And I'm like, wait a minute. What is this?
I have to look this up. I do not believe you.
They did.
What is their country song? What is Def Leppard?
Man, I don't know. I didn't listen to it, but it was a collaboration that they did. But you look at these, and like when they have the CMA Fest, man, that ain't no country fest. Again, like Chris Stapleton.
Well, no, I absolutely agree with you. There's a, like, even the modern day country is kind of like bubblegum pop almost, right?
Yeah.
Like Sturgill Simpson. You know, I love Sturgill Simpson. I feel like that's got like a classic traditional Waylon sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then also when he brings in the trumpets too, he brings like an Otis Redding sound too, like a big band sound. So there's a lot going on with Sturgill Simpson, man.
People tell me that I'm an old country head.
Ryan Bingham's a good one too.
Yeah, because it's like you just want a fiddle and a steel guitar. I'm like, no, that's totally fine. That's why I like Texas Red Dirt. But it's like, I don't necessarily need that, but I want a country tempo. You know, I want something that sounds country, not like what you're talking about.
Steady pace.
Yeah,
pace,
you know yeah, I mean? Not like what you hear on 96.7.
I think of Johnny Cash, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like right now, Lainey Wilson, and again, let's take the looks out of it. Lainey Wilson, I think, makes great music. Chris Stapleton makes really, really good music. Our guys from Dripping Springs, what do they call that band from Dripping Springs? Midland.
Transparent here. I don't think I probably would recognize a Chris Stapleton song, but I can't name a Chris Stapleton song.
Yeah, he's really good. He has that country feel, and
like I could probably recognize one of his, like a voice of his, you know, his voice or whatever, or a song of his, but I cannot name you a song, like a title, a track of Chris Stapleton.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other part of it is I don't mind a little bit of a crossover, but when to me, a crossover artist is you cross over and then you go back. You know what I mean? It's like, come on over, you know, like Eddie Rabbit back in the day would cross over to the pop charts with his country songs, not redoing all of these different things to sound like Men at Work or anything like that. So
play with my balls and tell me how big they are. I'm sorry, that was a little out of pocket, but Ike set me up for that one. Ike, you queued me up for that. This one's on Ike, everybody. Yeah. That was on. You know that you can't put anything on the prompter, or I'll read it. Ike put it on the prompter, and I read it. So
yeah, well, and here you go. I mean, Bobby Bones. I mean, great story, great talented young individual right there that Bobby Bones is, but. To me, that's not a country guy. Country music's different now. It's Nashville is just different. Just different.
Wait, so Bobby Bones wasn't country either?
No, Bobby Bones started out as you know, on the I think, well, here in Austin, I think he was on 96.7 or one of those on the progressive pop.
Oh, all I know of Bobby Bones since I've been in Austin is country.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and look,
he's been country since 2012, right? Before then?
somewhere around there. I don't listen to a lot of very, very little country radio these days. But yeah, now that's a country boy right there. The Big Dumper is a country boy. And we saw it last night.
I don't even know who some of these people are, man.
No,
the big, you want to go first, amigo? I see you with your burnt orange on.
The Big Dumper is Cal Raleigh. Is Cal Raleigh,
dude? How about that? Kind of, you know, spoke it into prophecy, right? The self fulfilling prophecy. Dreamed about it when he was a kid and made it happen as an adult. There, yeah, Cal Raleigh taking home the catcher, the field general there for the Mariners, for the M's, being able to take home the mantle there for the home run derby. How about that, buddy?
You know, I thought was what was even so cool about that to me was the fact that it was a family affair. You know, he had his dad pitching and he had his brother catching. I mean, that's kind of baseball Americana right there, right? You know, the American dream of baseball and so forth and so on. It's like, you know, that was really cool. And Cal Raleigh, look, Wags, we're speaking this dude into fruition. Or is he
speaking himself into fruition?
Well, I think what it was, you and I started talking about him on Chaos Theory Monday through Friday, 9 a.m.
You have that power, but I love where you're going with this.
I really think it is, dude. I really think that's what's happening. But just an amazing performance. How about O'Neal Cruz, man? That dude, I mean, I know he didn't win, but shit.
No, he put on a show. He put on a show with shellacking. So look, real quick to Rob, crazy that this is the first catcher you would have thought Piazza would have won too. So we had this conversation about 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago. When was the last catcher that was mashing like this? Absolutely raking at the plate. And it has to be Piazza, right? But to point, to Rob's point, Piazza didn't rake like this in an all-star game.
Well, did he do the home run derby?
You're right. I didn't look that up, as a matter of fact. I don't think he ever competed in a home run derby.
Yeah,
I think he was in the All-Star game.
Yeah, yeah. Pudge, my cousin, Ivan Rodriguez. He was pretty good.
Known for his defense. Pudge was more known for his defense.
Yeah. Yeah, but and that's what I wanted to ask you about. Isn't it so weird that that's the first time that a catcher has ever, because when you want to think about power, when you want to think about prowess, is the catcher, like you've talked about. That's the coach on the field. That's the dude doing all this. Right. Yeah, and I mean, that was just a great performance last night, man. He was just smashing, and the dude.
Hunter chimes in, how cool was it that his dad was throwing and his little brother was hyping it up behind the plate? What a family moment. No, it was cool. I thought I recalled, did Josh Hamilton not have his dad throw in the home run derby?
He may have. I think I've seen that a few times before. I think
that was, I'm wrong. It was not his dad. It was a coach, but it was not his dad. It was somebody from his childhood, but it was not his father.
Yeah.
I think I'm maybe a high school coach or little league coach, but it was not his dad. So I was wrong on that. Hunter, good call on the moment there for.
It's a very good baseball moment. That's a very good moment for baseball, and I'm glad that they actually let it play itself out and like talk to them all, and not it all together.
Riley. I mean, it's Riley's moment though, right? But yeah, it's a great moment for Riley's family there. But yeah, it is. It's kind of like Riley's moment, right? Like everyone else has been there. Like Alonso's done it, or even though he pulled himself out, I believe. He pulled himself. He didn't get injured, right? He pulled himself out.
Oh man, I don't recall. Yeah, I think so. I think he took himself out. But
I thought he just didn't feel like playing. I didn't know if he had an injury or not. But yeah, just a magical event last night for Riley there. And can he keep this up? Right, he's leading. I still believe he's leading in numbers for the
he's
baseball. Can he keep this thing going? If so, what number do you think he can get to? Or what's the highest a catcher has gotten to? I should have looked this up too before we came on the show.
I think he goes 58. I think he's going to be.
Where do you get 58 from? What fucking lottery number are you pulling 58 from here?
That was my cousin's motocross racing number, and he was really good at it. And I just liked the way the 5 and the 8 looked together. I think he's going to kind of taper off a little bit.
That 8 really looks cute next to that 5, doesn't it?
And here's, that 8, man, that snowman.
Well, that 8's got a really nice bottom on it sitting next to that 5, doesn't it?
Damn, yeah, that, That snowman sitting next to the five looks awful sexy right there to the right.
The curves on that eight with the jagged edges of the five. I'll tell you, man,
if you love big hips, you love that eight. But and I got to tell you, so here's, you know, me being Debbie Download and always the naysayer and, you know, cry me a river and all these different things. As all this is going on last night, I'm thinking about Cal Raleigh and I'm like, okay, here he goes. He's playing his way. He's playing his way out of Seattle. Going to be a Dodger.
You say that the M's, it's not exactly, it might be terrible to live there, right? I mean, I'm speculating, but, you know, just constantly just gloomy and always raining on you. That's when I think of Seattle, I think of just constant rain, right? I think of Pittsburgh, but on the other side, like West Coast, right?
I think of here lately is I said something the other day. I said, welcome to Central Florida. And my buddy said, this feels more like Seattle. I'm like, well, I've only sat at the airport there. The past week
it's rained like Seattle.
Been a little crazy.
I mean, just outrageous. Yeah. Outrageous.
But it really is a great performance last night.
But then to that point though, it's not like the M's are that bad, right? Would you not want to play for the Mariners? And I feel like they just hit a couple of studs in the draft too. So
and then you're stuck with the Astros in your division. So it's like it's a no-win situation. That's true.
And usually the Astros.
Yeah, five games up now.
I think it's still consistent. I think it's still running in the year. They win. It's like death taxes and the Astros winning the West, right?
It just happens. I'm glad that old adage finally fits to one of my teams because it's like with the Cowboys, the old adage, you know, death taxes and whatever, they're going to suck and fall off the face of the earth. So I'm glad that actually works. I got to tell you last night, dude, with Caminero in the final right there, that dude was just, when he started, it's like one, two, three.
Yeah, four, and then that's what happens though. You lose gas, man.
Yeah. When he did the stop, when he took the timeout. How much do you think
fatigue sets in with the new format?
It's like, I mean, because it's nonstop. I mean, it has to be.
It's constant, right? And then you got to get your bonus. You got to. If you hit enough, you get your bonus, and then you got to still add on, or you got to still kind of, you know, salvage your energy there and you know, swing for the fences. But I mean, how much fatigue do you think you are? How bad do you think swinging a bat could actually get you,
dude? It's like swinging a golf
ball around 100 times at least, right?
Oh yeah. Easily. I mean, just think about it. When you go play a round of golf, I mean, you get done and you're pretty tired, you know, after swinging that thing a bunch of times, especially if you're a bad golfer.
Doing it all day, right? It's the course of doing it over a day. Like this is high impact.
Within high impact.
Can you call swinging a bat high impact?
Hell yeah, because you're swinging fast.
At our age, you can call it high impact, right?
And that was the thing last night.
I guess you can tear an oblique or pull an oblique doing it, right?
Yeah. When Caminero took the timeout, it was like, oh, man. I mean, and it was a long timeout because the kid was over there trying to catch the ball.
Fatigue is real. Go chop wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go chop wood.
When he took the timeout, he was never the same after that. It was like, should have just kept raking. I mean, because I think he'd have caught him at the pace he was going. And then you had the younger out there.
Because he thought that Caminero hurt his hips a little bit there.
I mean, maybe so. I mean,
maybe got a hip pointer. Maybe got a hip pointer there.
That guy was swinging. I mean, because I think in the first 10 pitches, I think he hit eight home runs or so. But yeah, then the kid robbed him of one. So that was kind of the stoppage. I mean, you can't blame the kid. I mean, hell, I'd do that. Number one, I couldn't jump as high as a fence, but that the kid kind of stole the ball right there.
That's like the ultimate center stage for you to put on your baseball defensive prowess there. And if, you know, you're any type of little leaguer, that's probably got to be your World Series, right?
Like, absolutely.
Just a chance for you to be out there on a big stage like that. Tons of people out there in the crowd. And then, you know, it's All-Star Weekend and you're shagging fly balls in a home run derby. Now, maybe the passion got the best of him there. And of course, he didn't mean to rob, you know, a home run, but I mean, damn, dude. I would have done the same thing, man. I would have climbed. I would have done Bo Jackson up that wall.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And when
Bo Jackson running up the wall and catching the damn, well, if I was that athletic, but.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have caught it. It would have been another video worthy moment of me busting my ass. But yeah, he was taking a lot of pitches right there at the end as those pitches started coming across. I mean, he just wasn't swinging at anything. I mean,
you got to think gas, right? Fatigue.
I hadn't heard that he hurt himself. He may have hurt himself because it was a very big decline after the stoppage, man. It was like a totally different ball player up there. But it is, the momentum was gone.
John brings up a good point too, right? Like, even though you have that fatigue, when you're in a groove, mm-hmm. you pause yourself and take a timeout just to catch your breath or kind of get your, you know, kind of get your wings back underneath of you, your obliques back underneath of you, you know, even though you're in one hell of a groove, you know what I mean? You'd like to think that you'd stay in that little sweet spot, right? Keep that timing down.
I wouldn't have stopped. And that's where, I mean, I don't know if you have to do a stoppage or you hit the bonus and then it stops, but
you have to stop at the bonus, you stop. And then I think you can elect to take a timeout in between one of your phases there.
Yeah. Well, and he was pretty obvious with the call and timeout. So maybe he did hurt himself. And this kind of goes back to the whole thing where we're like, why ain't Shohei in this? And why aren't these different guys in it? I mean, that's why right there, if he did hurt himself. But you have to think the hips take a massive pounding with the...
I would think so.
Oh, man, the rate he was going at.
Remember when Josh Hamilton put on a show and ran out of gas? Yeah, so, and Josh Hamilton didn't win that home run derby, but that was, for all intents and purposes, that was Josh Hamilton's home run derby. Like,
yeah.
I don't care that he didn't capture the trophy. Like, he... I've never seen 100 balls leave the yard like that, right? Mm-hmm. I have actually in a real game where he did it to the Orioles, where Texas beat the Orioles like 33-3. But no, like, there has been nobody more impressive in a home run derby for me in my lifetime watching than Josh Hamilton. Josh mm-hmm. Hamilton was probably the best performance in my lifetime of a home run derby. It just sucks that he wasn't able to capture the hardware.
Yeah. And, you know, this ultimately is a show. It's a made-for-TV production.
It's hype, right? It's hype. Yeah. It's marketing. It's a way to bring juice and youth and invigoration into your sport, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we got a good finale. You know, we got a good final right there with them going back and forth. And the Cal Raleigh story is great with the family. And then when O'Neal was punching these things out, you know, over 500, I mean, that was great too. But so maybe you didn't have all of the great, you know, hitters, quote unquote, that you call in Major League, but you've got the home run leader. You've got the home run leader that was a part of this and won it. So he's pretty much solidifying himself as the king of the hitters, right? Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Like the favorite, right? The favorite leader in home runs wins the home run derby. No, I'm mm-hmm. with you there. Can we get Hunter on the marketing team here? Huh? Like, how about this? Right, I envision a TSU all-star break with a home run derby followed by a hot dog eating contest. Ooh, top it off with some funnel cake. Yeah.
We gotta hit softballs though, man. It's gotta be got to be. We gotta hit so
I couldn't hit. I don't know how far. I don't think I can hit a softball that far, honestly.
Oh, I know I couldn't hit it, but it's got to be. We can't have like Tegan Kavan coming in and pitching to us fast pitch. It's got to be like some old slow dude just kind of
some drunk league beer league baseball.
Real slow. No spin. None of that shit.
Float it.
Nice and slow. Give us a chance.
If I get the second, I get a glizzy.
There you go. No, I like the break right there. Code of text line 222-9328. Great chime in right here. Remember back in the day when McGuire and Sosa put on one hell of a show back then. And again, there's the show part where that's what this is. And I think we got a pretty good show last night. Those announcers were a little annoying, but
I didn't have the sound up.
Oh man, I didn't have it up for long. I'm sorry.
I did not have audio on last night.
I'm a little over the McAfee thing. I'm like, all right, does this dude have to be everywhere? I mean, does he have to be everywhere?
I'm a fan of McAfee. McAfee,
it's just a little much
to me, McAfee is where it's at. McAfee is must-watch TV. Is he not? I mean, the wrestling thing, I think, is a little... I could deal with him chilling out on the wrestling scene, but you got to make your money when you can, right? Like, you absolutely have to cash in. And McAfee will not be relevant in... The way that it goes,
I don't know, dude.
We're usually not relevant after 10 years, right? So cash in, get the most of your ride, push this thing in, right? Or just have it all in, push all your chips in, and cash in on it, buddy.
Yeah. That's well, right. I mean, look, he's doing something right because, you know, he's obviously his time slot where he's at on ESPN. He got three Fox shows canceled yesterday because he's pounding them in the ratings and making their shows irrelevant. So, boom, there you go. He's doing something right. But
McAfee is like Mike and Mike when Mike started. Like, for me, Mike and Mike was like sports for people that didn't actually get into the analytics of sports. I feel like that's kind of how it is for McAfee. McAfee's there just for like bottom line and hot takes. Right? Well, kind of like how Cowherd, when Cowherd got into it, right? When he started, you know, coming heavy onto the scene, it was just nothing but hot takes. And now, you know, Cowherd's gotten back into the analytics a little bit more, but, you know, usually it was just like, you know, it's hot take here. I'm going to be right. You're going to be wrong. And I'm going to try and drive up the hate as much as possible. That way I can get the following. You get more of a following when you have haters. That's been proven.
Yeah, absolutely.
Haters, for some reason, your following goes up when people hate you. It's absolutely wild.
I'm going to sit here and bitch about McAfee, but I'll watch him on College Game Day. Yeah, I don't watch his show, but I mean, I'll listen to what he says. But I'm just like, I really like Marty Smith. And again, Marty Smith is old school racing. Oh, Marty Smith
too, man.
Yeah, that's an old school racing guy. I lived through Marty Smith. That dude gets to go to the Kentucky Derby. He's at Super Bowls, baseball games, NBA. That dude is everywhere. And he was just an old racing guy. Well, not old. I mean, not as old as I am. But now that dude, I really like that dude's style.
I thought he was baseball. I thought his forte was baseball. I didn't know he came from NASCAR. Came from racing.
Yeah, that's a racing guy, man. He's really still good at that. And that's where I give him a lot of credit because he goes back to racing. It's like you get
SVP with golf, right? SVP, you know, his main thing's golf too. He's fantastic when he covers the Masters and other golf stuff.
U.S. Open this week, dude. That's what I'm going to be watching in Cancun.
I thought you were going to be in it. I thought you were going to leave Cancun and go to the U.S. Open.
Well, you know, they invited me. I qualified for it the other day with my round at Mustang Creek in Taylor, Texas. But I told them I can't. I got to go spend a few days with the wife in Mexico.
Yeah, you're full of shit. what do you got planned for Cancun, right?
I don't know, man.
What are you doing in Cancun? Is this your first time going to Cancun?
I haven't been to Cancun, been to a lot of other nice spots in Mexico. I'm just going to go where they tell me to go. I coordinated the checking in for the airline flights and all that shit. That's my job. I'll be the translator. It's all inclusive? Yes, sir.
Is it?
Yes, sir. I'll be the translator for the wife and I. I'll go down there, and that's a cool part about doing that. When we go down there, it's like I get to talk to the folks in Mexico and like, I get to talk about people and they don't know what we're saying about them. I love that. A lot of times we're talking about my wife. She has no clue what we're saying about her.
So you're not going to be leaving Mexico and going to play in the Open?
No, I'm going to wait till next year. Okay. I'll play in the Open next year.
Okay.
You and me, both of us.
If you'll
qualify.
First, you got to invite me to come over on Saturday mornings to play with you.
Taylor, Texas. Good
enough then.
To Taylor, Texas.
Maybe I'm good enough to get to Taylor. I don't know.
Oh my god.
Where do you want to go next, partner?
SEC Media Days. I think we can kind of jump on. But before we do that, let's talk about our friends at Covert Bee Cave. CovertBeeCave.com. If you're looking for that newer pre-owned car, truck, or SUV this weekend, go to CovertBeeCave.com first of all. Then go check out the dealership and check out the amazing variety of chariots, as my friend Wags talks about. And then it's the cool stuff Tom McKay says on the Coda text line. Cancun, watch tits, fish, and drink. Pretty much what's going to happen.
Sign me up.
I am
in.
Sign
me up. Put me right next to Tom.
Yep. Covert Bee Cave. How about some, again, with another great lead in.
Great
How about
segue.
Some great testimonials from some Covert Bee Cave customers?
It's really a family experience. You know, I walked in the showroom today and everybody greeted me by name. How are you doing? What's going on? How's everything going? From a price standpoint, from a customer service perspective, just conversation when you come in, it feels no pressure. I want to buy cars here.
The family buying car experience, one of the best that you will ever have.
Come and experience it for yourself.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Absolutely. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. Friends, there's a new lawyer in town. Man, never want anything bad to happen to our great friends, to anybody. We need to take care of our neighbors. But when that storm hits, you call Hurricane Hecht. That's right. Ryan Hurricane Hecht, your go-to personal injury attorney right here in the Austin, Texas area. Proud Texas Longhorn, fighting for fellow Texans. He's not just a lawyer. He's a Longhorn through and through, and he brings that same fire and pride to the courtroom. If you're injured in a car accident, a work accident, whatever the case is right there, be ready. The phone's going to be ringing. It's going to be those big insurance companies. Have I got a deal for you? Don't take that call. Say, I got to talk to the hurricane first. I'm going to talk to Ryan Hurricane Hecht. He will deal with the big insurance companies for you. Best thing about that, guys, you don't pay unless you win. Some of these folks that you see on TV just raising a stink right there and telling you how great they are, you don't deal with them. You have to pay a retainer, whatever the case might be. That's not what happens with Ryan Hurricane. Heck, he's going to work for you. And if you don't have any money in your pocket, there's no money going in his pocket. That's right. You don't pay unless you win. Aggressive in court, compassionate with clients, Austin-based, Texas proud. Friend of the show, fighter for the people. We talk about him all the time. It is Ryan Hurricane Hecht. Call him today at 512-938-8929. You bet your ass I have that saved in my phone as I'm about to travel abroad with abroad. You can also email him at ryan@hechtlawfirm.com. That's Ryan at H-E-C-H-T lawfirm.com. Check him out today, Ryan Hurricane Hecht. On stage right now, Wags, the great Kirby Smart.
Oh, yeah?
The great Kirby Smart.
Everything goes through Georgia now, huh? Or still, rather. Still.
I'm sure that's what he... I don't know. Did you hear Joey Freshwater yesterday?
I was getting ready to ask. I didn't check the sound, but we got any sound from yesterday?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some in there. We'll take a look. But I'll tell you one thing. Old Joey Freshwater got up there, and he had a lot to say talking about with what Mississippi State will be doing. He said, we're going to have first round picks. We're going to have the most players drafted in school history. We're going to win 11 games in a season, win 21 in the last two seasons, said Joey Freshwater. That's confidence, right?
That is a lot of confidence. It's going to be tough for Joey. Now, I do think I don't think Simmons is going to be that. I mean, it's going to be tough to replace Jackson Dart, 100%, right? But Simmons coming in as a sophomore, we saw what he was able to do with that one drive against Georgia. But still, you also lost a lot of pieces, right? Like last year was a year for Ole Miss. They returned 10 starters on offense and then had, what, 9 returners on defense too. They were primed and poised. They had a Jackson Dart had a meltdown against Florida, a very mid-Florida team where he threw seemingly 3 picks in 2 minutes and threw the game away. So, that you gotta build and learn from that and bounce back from that. Of course, it was just too little too late for Ole Miss. I don't know how they can reload. I thought they lost a lot of their pieces. We'll see what they can supplement here. But I thought the year to do it was last year for Ole Miss. Simmons is going to be okay, but I think Ole Miss is still going to struggle. Joey Freshwater can be as confident all he wants. That's probably what he does best now is talk shit. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, Joey.
And I mean, you want that. I mean, if you're a supporter of that team, if you're on that team, I mean, that's what you want. I mean, I guess till you get humble.
You also got to live up to it, right?
Till something happens like at Arkansas last year and then that. And it's like, hey, where's all that shit talk now? But with Georgia and Georgia, first coach on today is Kirby Smart, but I'm still very much, we were talking yesterday about Arch Manning, you know, where it's like, yeah, I think I know all of this a bit, but Georgia to me, it's like, I mean, you're still going to be amazing on defense. You've got really good linebackers. You're going to be amazing on defense. But to me with Georgia right now, and they are, it seems like to many, they are a clear cut favorite in the SEC.
I would have them. I have them over Texas.
I do too, but not as decisively, I think, as some of the folks more around the country do. Because with Texas too, there are some questions.
Texas, a brand new offensive line, all right? Mm-hmm. Like Goosby played a little bit last year, okay? So you're replacing all 5 starters essentially, okay? Yep. That's a big question mark.
That's
all
huge.
Right? That issues me a lot of pause and it gives me a lot of concern, all right? Now you also go to the other side of the trenches, okay? You got to fill in the interior there. Of course, our edge rushers are elite, superior, 100, right? But you still have to be able to find, you know, some three technique or some, hell, yeah, they don't play zero. But, I mean, somebody that can play on that interior and basically just stop up the run so that the edges can sweep down and honestly, you can fill up the middle there, right, and clog up the middle there and let your linebackers scrape. Half comes back. Secondary, you lose a little bit on secondary, but I think defense, you'll be okay. All right. Wide receiver room is the question mark for me, but ultimately, it's the offensive line. Like Goosby, I think Goosby's going to be okay. We saw flashes of him do some magical stuff last year in spell of Williams and in spell of Banks. But ultimately, man, that's the big question mark is can you reload and supplement like a Georgia or an Alabama can do in times like this where they ship people off or draft people off to the NFL. Like, can you reload? And that will be the answer. If Texas can do that, then maybe Texas has arrived to the SEC and it wasn't just a fluke of a year.
Absolutely. And like looking at Phil Steele's position rankings, I mean, obviously Texas at a decisive disadvantage with the offensive line, like we were talking about, only comparing to Georgia in this case. But right. where Texas does hold kind of almost the same advantage going the other way is at the running back position, which I agree with you.
But yeah. But caveat to that, you can have Ricky Williams in that backfield, brother.
You got to win the line of scrimmage.
If you can't block for Ricky, it's going to be tough for Ricky to be Ricky.
Yeah. So that's
I don't know. And maybe I'm an old X's and O's guy when it comes down to that. I just believe that we're not stupid. Like, everybody that watches this game knows that you got to win the trench warfare. If you can win that battle, you're usually going to win the game, right? That's unless you throw the game away or give the game away with turnovers, right? Usually, if you win trench warfare, you're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right?
And Rob, I think Florida could be a dark horse, but here's the thing about Florida. Does Florida not have the toughest schedule?
I think Arkansas does. Arkansas and South Carolina are – but Arkansas and South Carolina aren't.
Well, Florida's pretty damn – Florida's got a tough schedule.
Florida is very hard. Florida probably does have the hardest one.
I think Florida's got the toughest schedule in the SEC.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, the other part of that, I still think that the coach is coaching for his life. I mean, I think the hot seat is still there. So I think it's a step up here.
Napier's getting in recruits. He's Lagway didn't transfer out. So something's building there at Florida. I think they've been down for so long. It's been so hard for them to get back up. Right. And when you're down 3 years in the SEC, that's an eternity. That's a lifetime. You got to sit there and try and keep up with the Georgias in that same pipeline. You got to keep up with now, a Tennessee that's kind of been coming on a little bit strong here. And that's a big rivalry for Florida too, right? Miami's starting to catch back on again. So they're trying to take away from your recruits there. And then also, I know Florida State's down too, but it won't be long until, the embodied state of Florida football is back, thriving again. So. I would venture though that Alabama and Georgia are stealing a lot of those recruits from the speed state right now.
And this is where I think for LSU and Alabama, I've heard OU in this conversation as well, but I'm not going to lump them in here. But I think this is where for LSU and Alabama, everybody has questions. It's just, I think Texas and Georgia don't have as many. And the whole thing is, I think that's where one of these, maybe Florida, I don't think Florida, I would still think it would be Alabama or LSU. That could sneak in here and punch one of these projected number one and two in the jaw and become more of a factor. I don't wish that.
No, for sure. But I think Georgia's got the same questions too, right? Here's the thing though. Like for me, Georgia's been proven because they're already on top of the hill and
they're always on top.
Right. Yeah. We're the ones that are trying to knock them off. Okay. And until we arrive or until we get to the same echelon that they're on, or pantheon that they're on, then, I can't say that I'm going to question Georgia more over Texas, right? Like if Georgia loses their entire offensive line, I feel like they can reload a lot easier than Texas does because they've had the stalwarts and the studs kind of come through their recruiting process and start to build that, right? Texas doesn't exactly have, in my opinion, Texas doesn't have that full cycle yet, right? It's building, it's getting there, but when you can ship off 14 or 13 players to the NFL and then come right back and have a winning season, a championship caliber season again, that shows to me that you've come full cycle, right? Now you have your machine is fully built. It's that Alabama of old. It's the Georgia of new, right? Texas is on the doorstep. I just don't think it's right where Georgia's at now.
I just think a lot of it is perception. A lot of it is with Georgia right now, kind of like it was with Nick Saban in his time in Alabama, to where it's like you just assume that they're going to be okay and that they're going to be fine because they always have been.
Well, look at what they're doing in recruiting too, right? They're killing it in recruiting as well.
And that's where it's now, with transfer portals and all these different things, to where it's like And again, so much of the unknown that we don't know until we actually, you know, snap the ball on the football field with any of these teams is the moves that you've made. That's where it's so different now, because reloading is totally different. Where reloading in the past was you had to nurture players, you had to develop players, which you still have to do. But now it's like you have a blaring problem and you go to the portal. And so it's just different how you reload now.
It's going to be different looking at it, right? Because you're also going from a well-oiled machine that had so many snaps underneath of them, you know, from two seasons ago, to a brand new machine, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that we get studs. DJ Dog, I know we get studs coming in this recruiting cycle too, or coming through the 42, but reps, right? You got to get these guys together. We talked about synergy a lot yesterday too. Mm-hmm. Throughout baseball, synergy is very relevant in football too, guys. Like, the more if you can smell each other's farts and know who the guy is on the offensive line, obviously that's going to pay dividends for you, right? And yeah, that just comes. I'm trying to make a collection or just a like an association to intimacy, right? Like if you're that intimate and that involved with your dudes and know, like, all right, I know that this guy's going to be there with a blind eye on a pool, right? I know where everybody's going to be just because of how many reps we've played together. Like, that's synergy. Like that is ultimate intimacy that you can just plow through and win in trench warfare. We don't have that yet, right? Yeah. Now you get out there and you get the reps down, and sure, you know, it'll come with time. I feel like Georgia has that. I just don't feel like Texas has that already.
And it'll be, you know, talking about Arch, it'll be interesting to watch Gunnar Stockton. I mean, when this dude, I mean, we can kind of talk about, you know, in the CFP and so forth, but I mean, that is a pressure cooker situation that you go diving into. But I mean, now it's his show. I mean, he is the one that is going to guide them and keep this train moving for everything that Kirby Smart has done.
Gunner's better than Beck. I think Stockton's better than Carson Beck.
I think so too. I think so too. And that's like where we were talking about yesterday when we start ranking the quarterbacks in the SEC, to where it's like, I'm going to have that dude pretty high because the unknown that we don't know, the unknown tells me that this dude's pretty good. And we'll hear from Josh Heupel today, Wags, because Tennessee, it's their day as well. I mean, that's another team with Josh Heupel. That's a 10-3 team from last year. What are we going to get from them? I mean, that's another one that's just kind of sitting there quietly, after a really good season last year.
DJ Dog hits. How many reps does Georgia QB have, though? Probably not as much as Arch, I would argue, but was able to come in there and save the game for Georgia, my opinion, and, you know, utilize his wheels. He took one hell of a shot, like I mentioned yesterday, and was able to get right back up and get Georgia into the end zone. Arch played in that game and did not do much. He was ineffective. Now, I ultimately think, you know, when you put Arch in for one or two plays, you kind of can key on what he's going to do, right? It's probably going to be RPO or something. So you can, and especially in the down and distance, you can play for whatever Arch is probably going to do there. A QB, I think it was an actual RPO with Arch trying to get to the edge. Mm-hmm. Georgia played it to perfection, and then Steve Sarkisian pulled Arch and put Quinn Ewers back in. Didn't really give Arch that much breathing room, right? And it was kind of – you kind of tipped your hand, in my opinion, when you put Arch in that situation anyways. You're trying to gain possession around the corner or get the edge. I don't know. I just thought it was very predictable. I would like to see Arch with a fresh offseason, of course, and Gunnar Stockton with a fresh offseason, of course. I think these are going to be the two studs in the SEC. Also, like, Lagway too, guys. If Lagway can evolve some type of weapon in Florida, Lagway has a chance to be absolutely lethal too, man. There's some good quarterback play. Pavia, but, you know, get Vandy some weapons there, have Pavia will his team into it. There's some decent quarterback play.
And, you know, the dude from South Carolina, I mean, you can't.
Oh, yeah. Sellers.
Yeah, you can't discount any of these guys. I think why so much of the focus right now is on Arch and Stockton, because those similarities are there, to where we got to see what we're going to get out of them. And that is the nice thing.
I still think Nussmeier is the guy.
Oh, yeah. Nussmeier to me is pretty much the clear cut at this point, because we've seen him do everything that we're waiting for these other two guys to do. But the Texas and the Georgia offenses and all that are now built around these guys. And I mean, something else that you mentioned right there, where we talk about the added, the elusiveness of Arch and all that, something you just mentioned right there is that these coaches, Kirby Smart, these top tier coaches around the country, they're going to know that that's an option now. So I think a lot of us are like, well, yeah, well, of course, Arch can do this. Yeah, they're going to be ready for that.
It's an option. Kenny comes in. I don't think Arch is overrated. I don't think we've seen enough of Arch. So what will we have for SEC days tomorrow, for SEC media days tomorrow? Who's on the podium tomorrow?
Do you know? So I would think, so we still haven't heard from Alabama, which I saw in there that the problem with Alabama is the coach. And I'm not ready to give up on Kalen DeBoer yet, just because this is a system that he goes into and he replaces somebody that's been there for so long with so much success. Kalen DeBoer is a different coach from Nick Saban. Look, I mean, Ray Charles could see that. Give him a little bit of time. I'm not Kalen DeBoer has won everywhere that he's at. I mean, no, I don't want Alabama to win, but I'm not ready to throw the towel in on that dude yet. I mean, absolutely not. We haven't heard from Alabama. We haven't heard from Arkansas. Who else have we not heard for? I don't think we've heard from Missouri. We haven't heard from Vanderbilt, Kentucky.
I don't think you can do the math like this. I don't think it computes that way, but I love the confidence. I'm with you, man. I think Gunnar Stockton's going to be one hell of a ball player, though. Just based off of the moxie that I saw with just his ability to get back up after that hit that he took. And honestly, what's the most deadliest position in college football? It's not the quarterback. It's a running quarterback, mm-hmm. right? In my opinion, like when you have a guy that can absolutely utilize his wheels and then carve you up through the air, that's the best position on the field. That's the most dangerous weapon on the field. And I think Gunnar Stockton has that ability. So does Arch. I'm not saying that Arch does not have that ability. Arch is my favorite quarterback in the SEC here. I just think Gunnar Stockton's better than Beck. That's all. I don't think I ever said that Gunnar Stockton's better than Arch Manning. I just said he's better than Carson Beck.
And why I think that, that's what you said, Carson Beck. And why I think that Gunnar Stockton maybe has a little bit of an advantage right now, and not saying that Arch is not going to be better, because I truly think that he will be. But I think that you look at the time that Gunnar has on the field, maybe not as much time on the field as Arch did, but you look at the situations. I mean, Arch starting against the UTSA game and all, when you're thrust into a college football playoff game, that's a lot hotter water right there that you're going into with game situation that your team is planning to be a part of later in the season.
So look at the level of competition between the opposition, right? Like UTSA and Texas, like Georgia's playing Texas, UTSA or Texas is playing UTSA.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I don't even think that's not even a conversation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Come on. Well, let's move on. Where do you want to go next, partner?
Don't tell Bobby Chaffee that. He'll say UTSA is as good as Texas.
Where do you want to go next, Bobby Chaffee? Where do you want to go next? Hit me up, Bobby. We'll play some golf when Rodney's there.
Only other team, Auburn. Actually, Hugh Freeze is talking to the TV folks right now. So kind of Auburn, I think, sitting right there in the middle of the SEC. It's
Auburn's going to do with Arnold this year?
I think they'll win the games they're supposed to win and lose the games that they're supposed to lose.
That doesn't give me much.
That's kind of my whole thought, where they're not going to sneak up and beat somebody and ruin somebody's season with anything that they're doing. So I don't expect to be flabbergasted or blindsided by anything Hugh Freeze and Auburn do. Just Auburn is kind of the way I look at it.
Gotcha. 500 ball club. Gotcha.
500 ball club. That's about what I'm thinking, man.
All right, partner, where do you want to go next?
What else we got going on? Oh, I had to ask you this. Did you see, this is a quick racing nugget. I didn't even send you this morning. Did you see that Apple, Apple TV, they are offering Formula One $150 million for the TV rights to take them from ESPN.
No, I didn't see that.
It's a lot of money. ESPN pays $80. Apple wants to pay $150. It's a lot of money, dude. It's a lot of bread. I think I'd take that deal. Top 10 quarterbacks released yesterday by ESPN, just briefly touching on that.
Gee, can I take a guess who's in the top 10 quarterbacks of the NFL?
Let's go. Let's start at number 10, Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
You like that one?
Nine. So is Baker's top 10 for sure? But
I think so.
You think Baker's the gatekeeper? Has Baker not put on play the past two seasons to make you think that he's more than just the gatekeeper to 10?
I think Baker's
the remainder of the list, but
yeah.
I'm going to say Baker's getting some this. I mean, it's great to be on the top 10, but Baker at 10. Let's hear the rest of the list here. Let's see if he's the actual gatekeeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 10, Baker Mayfield. Number 9, Jalen Hurts, who probably wouldn't have even been on that list last year. But again, good surrounding cast, Wags. Good surrounding cast. Yes, he makes plays. He does.
That's tough for me. That's to have Jalen Hurts that low. That's pretty tough.
Yeah.
I think Jalen Hurts is a top 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, based on recent history.
Sure, putting your team in the position to win.
So. Yeah. Number 8, Jared Goff, Detroit Lions. Jared Goff, it's like, I don't know.
He's top 10 for sure.
I think so, but there are some that are left off the top 10. And
Baker Mayfield is still the gatekeeper based off of these three names. I still say that Baker's is the least of the three so far.
Justin Herbert, number 7.
Justin Herbert is 10.
We're
all in love with the big arm of Justin Herbert and what Justin Herbert's potential could be. Justin Herbert that has not had better seasons than Baker Mayfield over the past 2 years. Baker Mayfield has played head and shoulders above Justin Herbert, in my opinion. I would have Herbert at 10 and Mayfield at 8. Right, or Mayfield at 9, and then Goff at 8, rather. That's where we're at.
Justin Herbert is kind of one of those situations to where it's like he should be this good. He's good, damn good quarterback, but it's like he should be this good, and you're still kind of waiting for that moment, right? To where it's like, when is it going to happen? You know, now he's got his coach.
Call it coaching, I don't know. He's been through a multiple offenses here. You know, maybe he needs some continuity. Hopefully he can find some with Harbaugh, but ultimately he's not playing up to his potential. I would have Justin Herbert at 10.
Yeah. Nine. And it's what, always
where do you have him at 7? Where are the ESPN at 7?
7. Yeah. 7. Yeah. Okay. And with Herbert, it's always been, well, he doesn't have the coach. He doesn't have the surrounding cast. He doesn't have all of this, all of that. I mean, there's always something right there for the guy. Number 6. Future Hall of Famer, Matthew Stafford, staying with the Rams. I think we see a really good year for Matthew Stafford.
I can see that. I can see Stafford at 6. That's good.
Yeah. That one makes a lot of sense. Number 5, Jaden Daniels, already into the top 5 goes Jaden Daniels with his Washington.
This is tough. Squad. This is tough. Like one hell of a season, right? And you know how I am about being able to do it.
Yeah.
One hell of a, you know how I am about being able to do it more than once, right? You got to have consistency, right? To label this guy as a top 5 right after his rookie season, based off of stats, of course, sure. All right. But can he do it again? Now there's going to be more tape on there. Like you mentioned, you know, with everybody's second year, you know, the jig is up. Right. You know, it's a copycat league, like they say, for the defense there. They're going to find something on you. Right. Daniels is going to have to weave or zig when everybody else is zagging. It's going to be a different season for him. Can he stay in the top 10? We'll see. I think this is a little bit premature to put him at 5 already. I think maybe 8, maybe 7. Sure, I can give him that. But he's definitely better than Herbert, sure, right? But still, to give him at a 5 bill, a 5 spot after 1 year, that's classic ESPN for you.
And you know, when you talk about, I mean, not that pressure bothers these people, but for him, they've added pieces. They've helped him on the offensive line. They've helped him on the outside. So you're sitting here number 5. I mean, you're going to be, maybe that is what's going on here. But this was
DC's can prep for this dude now too, right? Like they saw you know, college speed tapes. You know, now they have NFL speed tapes. So
yeah, and this was supposedly a list put together by.
We got 4 left, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm gonna guess here. I mean, I think we can all deduce and figure out who the next 4 are.
The only 4 left. The only 4, and this is executive coaches and scouts.
Lamar Jackson,
number 4. I like him at four. He needs to take
He's a top five quarterback, 100%.
Needs number to make three. The next step. Number three. Go ahead.
They're not going to – Patrick Mahomes is going to be number one because it's ESPN, right? That's – that we just have to know that. So that leaves Allen and it leaves
– his jersey's kind of this color like my shirt.
Burrow. Burrow at three, Allen at two, and, of course, ESPN sucks off Mahomes. They put him at one. Am I correct?
That's right. That's exactly one through four right there. Yep. That they did add that Mahomes' first place rate was down to 60%, where in previous times when it's list season, like folks are talking about right there, he's like closer to 80%. You know, but so it's down to 60 a little bit with Mahomes. So folks are starting to buy in that there may be somebody better than him. And yeah, Ike, where's CJ Stroud?
So to this list's point, right? CJ Stroud, amazing rookie season, comes back sophomore slump.
This could be Jaden Daniels.
This could be Jaden Daniels' sophomore slump. So
I
guess we're just basically going off of the statistics and performance from last season.
And this is where, because the way this shit works with these outlets who do this kind of stuff, and again, this is kind of senseless, but it's worth laughing about because we know how this works. Let's say that the Bears come out and Caleb Williams has something comparable to what we just saw from Jaden Daniels. Now with Ben Johnson, not our Ben Johnson, the other Ben Johnson, he'll be 5 or 6 next year. Because he will vault into that. So
guys, I'm gonna reorder this list. I'm going to.
There's no mention of Jordan Love. Jordan Love
in Stroud in there, right? Put Stroud up in there. Yep. Put Mayfield up and take Herbert to 10, or maybe even take Herbert out of it. Carve Herbert out and put Stroud in there. I would say Stroud or Herbert is the gatekeeper for the top 10. Would you not?
I would put Stroud in and take out probably Herbert. There's a part of me that wants to take Goff out of there too, because
Goff's team got to a late playoff stage. So yeah. I don't think you can, like, based off of stats, maybe, but if you're talking top quarterbacks, top 10 quarterbacks, Jared Goff's a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. Dak's not in here. I've seen some, where's Dak? I mean, Dak's a great regular season quarterback. I mean, I would think if you look at body of work, I would have
Dak Prescott in the top 10. Dak Prescott is the top 10.
You do. I mean, he can't win.
He was riddled with injury last year too, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, the dude is a great regular season quarterback. I mean, he's done some really good stuff, but
they're clearly not just going off of stats alone. If they went off of stats alone, Sam Darnold would be in there too. So.
Right. I'm surprised he's not in here. And I did see some people saying, where's Geno Smith? I'm like, Geno Smith? 18,
Geno 19? Has consistently done it at a decent level, at somewhat of a high level, keeping Seattle in the mix for a while. Let's see what he can do, you know, in his new house with Vegas. But I don't know if Geno is a top 10. Geno might be 11 or 12.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have a pretty good suspicion that next year when we get into this, that somewhere around 10, somewhere, we're going to have Bo Nix in this discussion. Because I think he with Sean Payton.
Herbert had the best route runner in all of football, right? Herbert also had one of the fastest wide receivers in all of football. QJ, they weren't able to do anything with Quentin Johnson either. Mike Williams was fantastic. Herbert has had a ton of weapons. He had Austin Eckler as well. Herbert's problem is that he's had multiple offenses that he's had to run through, right? And sometimes Herbert just can't get out of his own way. So I would take Baker Mayfield over Justin Herbert any day.
And with the Mahomes discussion, I mean, the thing is with Mahomes, and again, a lot of it's overplayed just for everything that we've talked about. But with Mahomes, if you look at it, I mean, it has kind of been a carousel of people that have kind of come through there. So, I mean, you give him that, but I think they will take a step back this year. I'm not going to, whenever we start picking who's going to win the AFC, I'm not automatically going to give Kansas City the division this year. Because the division's loaded again with the folks that we're talking about.
We keep saying that, and every time I want to tip the cap and give it to somebody else, you know, Kansas City comes right back in there to sweep it up. So
I know. I mean, last year I thought they were done. I mean, not done, but I thought that they were, you know, vulnerable, which they were in the Super Bowl. But yeah, so where the hell is Brock Purdy in this list? All that money he's making?
All Brock Purdy does is win. All he does is win.
Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, and that's where you can go back to Dak, and it's like, he ain't won shit.
Okay. Brock Purdy is your girl next door quarterback, right? He's you can put him in any offense, or actually you can. I'm misspeaking here. I think honestly, the only offense that he can orchestrate seemingly is San Francisco. I think it's just a well-oiled machine. I'm very intrigued to see how it's going to be like next season. Right. Yeah. It seems like all the pieces has been there for Brock Purdy. And I hate to give him a backhanded compliment of saying that he's managed it well. Right. But, you know, each year has a different story and a new story all in itself. I can't wait to see what this story has.
Mm-hmm. Where the hell is Kyler Murray on this list?
Playing video games, man. Call of Duty's out.
He's busy. He's busy right now.
Playing video games.
He's busy.
Good little top 10 list there for you, man. Hey, there is going to be a big announcement today. So make sure you guys are paying attention to Will and Jordan today. They're about to come on. They are very busy. Again, this is the time of announcements and a time of news of people coming to the 40. So make sure that you guys have your ears open and pinned for this. I believe it's even going to be on a national spotlight too. So they will be making a huge announcement around 10:50 or 10:55. So make sure you guys are still staying on and paying attention to the Lone Star Playbook. Anything else we got to get off our slate before we go and roll it over and turn it over to the dudes?
Oh man, we got to tell folks about audiovisual consultations. Baseball season, great time of year to have that set up. How about AV consultations talking baseball?
Now stepping up to the plate is a household name, weighing in at roughly 115 pounds with a wingspan of 98 inches. It's Samsung.
Kid, I know it's baseball season, but this isn't what I meant when I said to incorporate sports into the company commercial.
Sorry, old man. I just want everyone to know that audiovisual consultations can make your home feel like a stadium.
That's true. Audiovisual provides stadium surround sound, huge screen video, controlled lighting, and even temperature control. On our roster, every customer is an MVP.
Sounds like audiovisual knows how to score a home run with our customers.
All right, kid, that's enough with the baseball puns.
But I'm trying to tell everyone that audiovisual is a real catch. You'll glove our services.
Kid?
There's nothing coming out of left field when you give us a call. We won't break your balls.
Kid, we only have a minute.
Pitch, please. I don't need your batitude right now.
Rest assured, listeners, audiovisual is much better at installing and designing custom home theaters than we are at making jokes.
Just check our stats. Give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit us online at avconsultations.com.
Oh, yeah.
Now, stepping up to the plate is a
household. Gotta stop it.
There it is. You go. Good stuff right there.
Remember when some crazy asshole in Texas Sports Unfiltered said that Bo Nix was going to be the best quarterback out of that class?
I can't believe that.
I can't believe some asshole would have said that.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
He's looking like a genius right now.
Yeah. Speaking of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield, I just saw this flash across the Twitter. So they're bringing back the popsicles, too. Take a look right there. There's our man Baker Mayfield.
Dude, I like that.
Dude, that is clean.
I like that a lot, man. The creamsicle.
I love that uniform, man.
The red's cool, too. I like the red, but the orange, I'm a fan of the orange, man. And you wouldn't think that the red and the orange would go together, but when it's on the white like that, it pops.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks pretty damn good. That is a great outfit with the creamsicles. I wish they'd wear that a little bit more. That was a pretty drastic change when they went to that pewter or whatever the change was right there. But those look pretty clean. No problem with that one. No problem with that one at all. Shoot, man, I think we got everything covered. SEC. Oh, so I don't know if their announcement is. It's not the Tyler Atkinson, is it? That one's what you.
I don't want to steal the thunder, buddy.
Okay. Well, they were talking about that before. before we came on. So
they sent us a text message. So I don't want to.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not trying. I don't know if it's going to be that at all, because I don't know what the answer to that is going to be. So anyway,
we're gonna let them answer. That's what we're going to do.
That's right. We'll let them do it.
Where do you want to go next, man? We're 5 minutes over. We're waiting for the guys to come on. But
so I do want to talk. I'm excited. I'm going to try to check in. May not catch you guys live, but I'm interested to hear you and Ty Henderson.
We're going to have Ty Henderson coming on. This little shit, he got me into an online dynasty league for college football 2026. Up till about 2 a.m. last night, completing. And how this works, there's 12 manual users in here. Manuels are in here.
Uh-oh.
And we have to wait. We have to go through each week. So week zero, and you can't be top 10 teams, right? And there's only a selected teams that you can be. I was able to select Iowa State. That's the team that was available that I went with. I figured, we talked about all the turnover that they're going to have, or the lack of turnover that they're going to have, the continuity that they're returning there between I think it's 10 on offense, 8 on defense, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around that number. I'll have to get it to you. I'm using Rocco Becht as my quarterback there, rolling out, getting some option going and, trying to get the rock toted with Hansen out of the backfield. And Iowa State looking a little bit nasty, but up until about 2 a.m., waiting for everybody to get all their games done and turned over to, I guess, week one. We're on week one now, but we started week zero with me playing Kansas State. Took an L, lost 21-7, double R.
Oh, man.
21-7, man. And now we're going up against Northwestern here in week one. So
yeah, absolutely.
We'll keep you apprised of that with our dynasty season. But
keep you abreast.
Yeah, keep you abreast there. Not exactly the best start, right? I thought to be able to go out and at least, win the first game. But hey, it was against an actual user, right? Like, there was a guy that was playing with Kansas State, Dylan Edwards. We got to have a conversation tomorrow about Dylan Edwards on Kansas State. Because this dude might be in the conversation for the Heisman ultimately. Yeah. Like, yeah. And the chance to be magical in that type of offense. But
Kansas State
could surprise some people in the Big 12 and throw up some offensive numbers.
You know who else has to be coming up at SEC Media Days here? I would assume, I don't know when. We haven't heard from Texas A&M. We haven't heard from Mike Elko yet.
I don't have any interest at all to hear from Mike Elko.
You're going to be on the edge of your seat waiting to hear from him?
Chomping at the bit.
I'm curious to hear from Sark today, because he'll have Arch Manning, he'll have Mookie Taft and Anthony Hill. So that's going to be some pretty good perspective that we'll have coming up, and it's Texas very late in the afternoon. I think 3:15 our time is when
get Mookie Taft on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got strong ties to Ty, no pun intended there. See if we can get Mookie on the show here, talk a little ball. What's up, Jordan?
What up?
Nerve-wracking morning, or everything going as planned?
I mean, everything's going as planned thus far. We'll see. We're expecting Tyler Atkinson to pick Texas today. Have been since probably about 10 or 15 minutes after he announced he'd be committing today. So
kind of abrupt, wasn't it? He hadn't had set this date, had he?
Him and his father, and I mean his camp, they've gone about the process in an interesting way. I mean, this is a kid that had like 12 offers before the end of his eighth grade year, and they weren't just like UTSAs and UTEPs. It was like Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, those type of offers.
Damn.
And the whole thing has been pretty much master planned out. I mean, they've done training, they've done all these visits, everything from the beginning. And as we got into the summer, it was interesting. He didn't schedule official visits like it. OVs in June, he didn't announce those as scheduled dates in May or April or anything like that, like what traditionally happens. There was a pretty good sense from, I think, the industry on what schools he would OV based on what he's done the last 3 years. But like each OV he took, Clemson, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, they didn't get announced until like Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. And then he would take the visit Friday through Sunday. So like, I think they had a pretty good idea what they were doing and where they were going, but like they didn't announce and officially lock in those official visit dates until days before. He spoke on record after all those OVs about wanting to commit in the summer, specifically in the month of July. So, you know, we had a pretty good sense it would be coming sooner or later. There's only so many days left in the month.
What's the sense behind that? Just so he can get on campus, or is there anything, any strategy on why he wants to commit during this time frame instead of other times?
No, not really. I mean, most kids like to commit before their senior year so they can just focus on their senior season and kind of just, quite honestly, just be a teenager for, you know, the last few months. They're able to just be a regular kid, I guess. But, you know, most recruits, they try to lock it in the summer and be committed going into their senior year. As far as Atkinson goes, we've heard throughout this month he was trying to announce it on SportsCenter. He's repped David Mulligetta and Athletes First, that agency. So, like, we had a pretty good sense they'd be able to make that happen. And then yesterday he announces he's going to hop on Pat McAfee today from sometime between 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's the broadcast time.
That's what I was getting at. I was asking you if there was a special scenario of why he wanted to wait for this long, but
no, I think they were just waiting on a time slot or opportunity to do it. McAfee, it'll run from 11 to 1 Central Time. I looked it up. The last two kids who announced on McAfee, one did it at like 11:08. The other one did it at like 11:13. So he should be doing it rather early in the broadcast.
Kirby's going to blow a gasket.
Yeah, that's the funny part. Like,
Is he getting animated up on the podium there?
I doubt it. I mean, I'd be lying to y'all if this isn't pretty much done already. That's the large majority of commitments. They're done before. Like, very rarely will a kid actually get up to the stage or whatever and, you know, no one knows yet.
Right.
Braden Rouse was an example of that. He didn't call either staff ahead of time. And honestly, I mean, that's a smart thing to do because, like, I don't know. Let's say I'm a 5-star recruit and I'm down to Texas, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma, and I'm going to Texas. The right thing to do in that situation is to call A&M and Oklahoma and, hey, thank you for recruiting me. I really appreciate it. Y'all really gave me something to think about, but I'm not coming here. That is the right thing to do, and ethically, the right thing to do. The problem is the way these things work.
I'm sorry, I got to take my dog out real
quick. No worries. The problem, the way these things work, is that as soon as that happens, the Oklahoma staff calls all their reporters in the market, hey, this kid's going to Texas. And the same thing happens at A&M. So usually whenever a commitment date gets announced and it's within 24 hours of, I guess, the announcement or whatever, 9 times out of 10, the calls have already been made and it's a done deal. So, there was like 10 crystal ball predictions that went in within an hour of him announcing, you know, his commitment date for today. So I'm asking you to put the puzzle pieces together.
Little ironic timing, the way this all shakes out. But I'm glad you mentioned that because I think that's something that we talk about a lot of times with commitments and so forth, to make that courtesy call, because it's like, man, these people have been working their ass off and they've been investing in you when you're not invested in them yet. And to make that call, but you're right. I mean, I can only imagine what happens when I'm like, Jordan, I'm going wherever. It just goes apeshit crazy, I would imagine.
Yeah, and the recruiting world is fascinating because, like, there are kids and their families who know that whatever they tell the staff when they tell them they're not going there, it's going to get leaked.
Yeah.
So, like, Colin Simmons, for example, his top three was LSU, Texas, and Miami. He told all three schools he was coming. And, like, LSU and Miami knew damn well he had to be lying.
Yeah.
But because he did that, like, it didn't really leak ahead of time. I mean – he committed on a Thursday. I found out through Tuesday because I had an NIL source that told me it's a done deal to Texas. It's Texas. Trust me, it's done. And I, if I'm not mistaken, was the first in the Texas market or in the recruiting industry to go from being like, yeah, it is Texas, but, you know, it's the recruiting world. Anything can happen. Mm-hmm. I was the first one to be like, no, it's Texas, you know.
Crazy.
And it's because it was done on Tuesday and he committed on Thursday. And he continued playing the game for the next 48 hours with the Miami and LSU staff. Like, I'm coming, man. Come on. Julian Lewis did the same thing. Like, some of these recruits are starting to figure out what happens when you tell a staff you're not going there. And so they tell everyone in their top four that they're coming. Right. All four schools know damn well it ain't true. So it's interesting, man.
Little gamesmanship. Yeah,
no doubt.
All right, Dance, I gotta get out. My dogs are acting up, so I'm gonna get off here. Will, I'll see you in the show, man. Have a great show, guys.
See you guys.
Take care. Peace.